God is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Sunday, in the light of God's own charity, the Holy Ghost, we looked at the way we generally structure our families and found them wanting. And this is because we look at the family as an image of the adorable Trinity, whom we worship today with awe. Shoreless ocean, who shall sound thee? The Trinity is the family which is God. A family, yes, consisting of three distinct persons, but only one God. Behold the mystery. There is a true Father, source of life, invested with all authority. He begets, he who is not begotten, a Son with no beginning, a true image or picture of himself. His Word receives everything from his Father. And they, Father and Son, are united together in love, a love which is breathed forth from all eternity in the bosom of the Trinity. And that love, that breath of God, is the Holy Ghost. Now, St. John makes it quite clear. No one has ever seen God. How can we then be said to love God, whom we haven't seen, if we never manage to love the image of God, which we do see, and with whom we live every day, our neighbor, our brother? Baptized as we are, adopted as we are into God's own family. Today's old epistle of charity and gospel of its follow-up, which is meekness, is an unknown doctrine, rarely preached anymore, and far more rarely practiced. Here I generalize. At the start of the changes, and even unto the present day, in the Novus Ordo, everything is love, L-U-V, and that seems to cover for the absence of faith and of doctrine, for the woeful lack of discipline and the disappearance of sacrifice. They just prate on about love. But for us, we who oppose the changes, because we want to live and to die in the faith of our fathers, alas, why must it be so? There is rarely any love. And the scriptures that lay this command upon us, we pass by without comment. We seem to think that there are no limits in going after our neighbor in whom we find, say, faith wanting. And we know no charity in exposing and attacking those whom we consider to be uncharitable. Odd, isn't it? Here we have some lack. We've been cheated. Where's our full measure? Weigh it. The scales do not lie, the scales of God's charity, and yet we go on attacking and wounding, and we take no prisoners. Scorched earth is our policy. My dear brothers, however could we maintain the faith of the saints of old unless we also manage the charity of the saints of old? No wonder There are no more saints in this world. There is no example to produce them anymore. Oh, you will say, I'm only telling the truth. Ah, yes. But listen to the saints with me this morning, will you? We start with our own patron saint here in Cincinnati, Francis de Sales. Meditate this. A truth which is not charitable comes from a charity which is not true. St. John of the Ladder, he is an Eastern monk, spiritual writer, says, don't even condemn with your eyes, because what you see often deceives you. The most important reason not to condemn is the awe in which we hold Almighty God. To pass judgment on another, says St. John the Ladder, is to usurp shamelessly the prerogatives of God. And to condemn is to ruin one's soul. St. Philip Neri says, we oughtn't even to comment upon the obvious defects of our neighbor, his natural faults, not if we ever want to maintain peace with our neighbor. We should stop scowling at the sins of other people. Who said this? Alphonsus Liguori, who wrote so many books about sins and so many meditations on how awful it is to sin. He says, stop scowling at the sins of other people. Rather, we should consider that we may be worse spiritually than they are. And he concludes with the old adage there, but for the grace of God, go I. But if you do find yourself accused by others, what should your attitude be? St. Paul of the Cross gives us a good example here. He was a powerful preacher like Alphonsus Liguori. He condemned sin up and down. He would have no truck with it. Remember, one soldier confided to him, Father, he said, I've faced without flinching many a cannon in many a battle in my life. But I'll tell you this, when I heard you preach this morning, it made me tremble from my head down to my toes. And yet, this same Paul of the Cross, in the confessional, in individual conversation, was the most gentle, polite, and winning of men. And he tells us, and he knew because he suffered a lot in his life. All the saints did. When you are accused unjustly, he confided once, it's so hard to be nice to your accusers. And yet they are the instruments of God. He uses them to enrich your soul with virtues. Seek every opportunity to be nice to those people and to do all the good to them that you can in meekness and in love. Hamilton County and Butler County, too, are run by the Republican Party machine. That's pretty much patronage. Mexico runs by patronage, too. I think it's part of human nature. And very often, the church would run by patronage. The great Charles Borromeo, the 16th century, he became a cardinal because his uncle was the pope. But he also became a saint. Now, because of the patronage politics of his day, everyone expected, if they were at all related to him or had done his family any favors, that they in turn would receive favors, titles, income, and the rest from the cardinal. And he absolutely refused any of that. The only ones that he would do any good to, perform any favor for, were those who had offended him. And they used to say, if you want that cardinal to do you a favor, become his enemy, and then he wouldn't be able to do enough for you. Criticism often is misguided. It could be the result, that's admitted, of honest misunderstanding. Sometimes some jealousy enters in, some fear or selfishness. And critical words, although God uses them to hone the image of the Trinity in our soul, can also be a tool of the devil to interfere with God's work by prompting the criticism of those who are, after all, just trying their best to carry it out. The best remedy for the tendency to criticize, should you find that in yourself, is to keep silent, or better yet, to pray. I told at one of our first Rosary Sundays years ago at St. Gertrude in the 80s, this story, it's still one of my favorites, about a Benedictine monk in Bavaria who happened, he was walking from one town to another, and he happened to fall in with a woman who was the village gossip. And she took advantage of that to tell the priest, she wanted to anyway, exactly her opinion about what was wrong in his parish and who was doing what. And every time she brought up someone's name with a criticism and just started the story, he would interrupt her and say, oh, my dear, is that true? That's appalling. We had better pray for that poor soul. And he would get out his rosary beads, and they would pray a rosary for her. And then she was thinking of herself, oh, I've got to get this comment in. And so she tried somebody else. And what about, oh, let's do a rosary for him too, shall we? The poor woman never got a chance to finish the tale about anyone because the monk kept on directing her to pray. God is charity. And if the Curia of ours tells us this, we wish to avoid being hypocrites in the eyes of God. Our Lord talks about that in the Gospel. We must have a universal charity for everyone, for the good and for the bad, for the poor and for the rich, and for all those who do us harm just as much as for those who do us good. St. John Bosco, like all saints, was constantly blocked in doing good. He, the patron saint of our schools and of our youth. And sometimes he was blocked not only by the Freemasonic civil government, but even by the local Archbishop of Turin. And at some point, his followers, who had a paper they published, thought they would do well to publish an editorial criticizing, in a veiled way, but you got the point, the local archbishop. And when St. John Bosco saw that editorial, he was furious with his followers. He said, that is the bishop, and you do not speak that way about those in authority. Their authority comes from God. You respect it. The bishop, for his part, although very often he could not understand and he could not agree with St. John Bosco, and caused him, as I say, his fair share of grief, one time was offering Mass in the saint's beautiful church of Mary, Help of Christians, in Turin. And when he was in the sacristy after Mass, removing his vestments, John Bosco entered in. And he said to his altar boys, he pointed out to the saint, and he said, do you see that priest? Mind you, they had quarreled for years. Do you see that priest? He's a saint. You're not worthy to be in the same room as he. That, my dear faithful, is the science of the saints. It's not so much that we may not disagree with each other, But we must do it, as they say, without being disagreeable. St. Vincent de Paul, the saint of charity, reminds us again to see the image of God in our neighbor. Now look, I doubt it would happen, but should the Sacred Heart appear to some of you today, would you speak disrespectfully to our Lord? And then after our Lord disappeared, would you refer to our Lord in a disrespectful way? I think not. But what about your neighbor? He is the actual image of God. How do you speak about him? In a word, do you carry out the epistle and the gospel? I almost thought it wouldn't even be necessary to give a sermon this morning. Imagine that. But then I thought better of it, and I thought, no, I'd better just say a word or two, just in case we don't get the point about the epistle and the gospel and honoring the image of the adorable Trinity present in the person of my neighbor, not only by turning the other cheek, but by working for peace, even as you uphold the truth in a respectful spirit of genuine love. How about a little compassion, too? But, Your Excellency, I'm only telling the truth. Ah, so am I, my friend. A truth which is not charitable comes from a charity which is not true. And God is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.